Welcome to what could potentially be 30 minutes of L. Duncan and Gary Streisky flirting.
Depending on who you ask, L., that's 100% confirmed.
Wait a minute. Welcome to the L. Duncan Show with Gary Streisky. As we come to you from parts unknown, we'll get to that. But Gary texted...
Well, they had to separate us. There was just too much heat in the studio.
Too much chemistry. Just too much eye gazing at each other. So Gary texts me today. And tell the people what you texted me, Gary Bear.
All right, so I land from Austin in Boston, and I'm meeting with my friend Dan. It's his birthday today, so we go out to brunch. Happy birthday, Dan. And as soon as we get to the coffee shop, he's like, hey, man, like don't tell him I told you anything, but I got a text after the last episode, and you're going to know the guy. I'm not going to tell you who it is, but he was like, dude, is Gary's girlfriend, like, does she get jealous, like, over Gary and Elle, like, flirting all the time? And I was like, tell me you're kidding. Like, tell me you're kidding. And he was dead ass. His name's Lee. And apparently Lee was going Inspector Gadget, but Lee didn't go Inspector Gadget enough to do the research to know, L, fill in the blanks here, that you look at me as a little brother. As a matter of fact, I'm going to give the crew the screenshots that hurt my feelings after I relayed this little nugget towards you guys.
Let me just read exactly what the text messages was to the friends at home.
Oh, yeah, said, okay, this is perfect. This is perfect.
I said, we flirt? We flirt? That's like being accused of thinking that your cousin is hot.
Which I was like, wow, Elle, first of all, that hurts. Second of all, damn, that still
kind of
hurts.
It was a compliment. I called you hot, Gary.
Yeah, okay,
see, gotcha, I just buried the lead in there. Let me be clear. Anytime a man and a woman who I would like to believe are attractive people get together and have a good time and laugh and smile and laugh at each other's jokes, people just automatically assume there's something deeper. Of course, your lovely girlfriend, too. Are we allowed to say her name?
Yeah, go ahead.
Of course, Abby's been, we used to work with Abby. I worked with Abby. Of course, I am of no threat to her. You are of no threat to Omar. Full stop, y'all.
Shout out Omar.
Listen, and here's all you need to know as we wrap up this particular topic and move on to stuff that matters.
What a way to intro the show.
If there was at any point, even just an inkling of an attraction to Gary Streisky, watching him out in the wild try and deliver game sealed that right up.
Oh my gosh.
Nope.
Here we go.
No thanks. Well dry. Love Gary, very handsome, so not my type, but I root for him.
Okay, somebody cut Elle's mic.
It just keeps getting worse.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
But you know who does have game?
Happy birthday, Dan.
This place.
Yeah, where are you? This is like
so for those of you that can't see.
Nicest La Quinta Inn I've ever seen.
The Hampton in Ojai, California. I'm here for the ESPN Women's Summit. I do have a very nice room that has not one, but two fireplaces in it. And I don't know about you, Gare Bear, but like when I go to these kinds of things, I have, like, I just cannot ever play it cool around people that have money or around like luxurious things. Like I just act like such a weirdo and it makes me like largely uncomfortable. Like I'll be the person that will like lug my own bags half an acre down the property just because I feel bad asking a bellboy to do it. And so I'm like always really uneasy at very fancy places like this.
So like hotels in Ojai, Chili's, in upper middle class neighborhoods, things of that nature. So how much cash do you have on hand, since it sounds like it's an establishment where you are tossing tips and they better be 20s every time you step out the door?
So here is where I have found myself in a very precarious situation, because I landed here at midnight.
No cash.
I've been going and going since. I have no cash. Ooh. The good news is the young people all have Venmo. So like, you know, can I get your Venmo? Like, that has been great. The older gentlemen that have helped me, of course, do not have a Venmo or Cash App. And I feel really bad. But I also wonder, is it my fault for not having the cash? Or is it their fault for not evolving with the times? If you are a tip-based industry, and you know people, especially post-COVID, don't carry cash anymore, is the onus and responsibility on you to provide numerous outlets for a tip.
Mm-hmm. I'm loving how you're deflecting blame. So that's wonderful. Loving that.
on the poor waitstaff, like the service staff.
I'm absolutely loving how you're deflecting blame, because how long has the women's ESPNW conference been on the schedule that you are the host of and for this beautiful week?
Yeah.
How long?
A long time. But, you know, I had a Halloween party on Saturday.
Tell me more.
The idea that I'm just here and have clothes is a win. It was a great party. You couldn't make it because you were at F1 hanging out with Tiesto. We are getting to that story, by the way. What a story time.
Those personal friends.
Cannot wait.
I'm so
Gary's pointing to a hat. I can't wait to get into that story. But you couldn't come. And so one of our producers was able to come, Sarah. And listen, like, I logged on today and all I'm going to say is she said it was the greatest party of a generation. I mean, she didn't really say that, but she kind of intimated at that, and it was fantastic.
Well, I would like to say that I had a little bit to do with that, because later on, last show we had, we saw Sarah, the Snapchat crew, and I, and she joined us for dinner, and she was like, I'm really nervous about going to Elle's party. And I said, Elle throws the best parties at the company. It would be a crime if you are available to go and you do not go. Matter of fact, Aaron Kate Dolan had the same bit of a dilemma. She was like, oh my gosh, what if I don't know anybody? And I was like, well, you know Elle, who invited you, right? And she was like, yeah. I said, what's the problem? And then I saw her, I saw her post, you had a 360 cam. That's when you know you're either at a wedding or awesome party. If a 360 or like a corporate event where they're like, hey, what do you think the young people will think is cool? 360 cam. And that's why Brian Kelly had one down there at LSU. And that's why I know Elle should have cash on her, because I know those aren't cheap.
Well, they're not. But I also felt like I would reward everyone. I asked everyone to dress up and everybody went really all out. And so I wanted to reward them with...
Michael Eves's outfit was awesome.
Prince was great. A lot of... The theme was icons. Lots of musical stars. We had Whitney Houston. We had Madonna. We had Prince. Like, we had all the... Aaliyah. Like... Left Eye was there. But I think, apart from being super tired, this was the most mature grown-up that I have ever been at a party. Because, yes, while I was handing out Jell-O shots to 40-year-olds, I didn't consume that many. And in fact, I had my full faculties so much at the end of that party, which, by the way, was big. There was a lot of people there. I had my faculties so under control that, Gary, by the time everybody left, I still cleaned, which took a while. I still took a shower, washed my face, got some things packed. All of this happened post-party, and I had a great time anyway. And it finally hit me at 40. You can enjoy yourself and still be like, you know, somewhat together and with it. Blackout doesn't always mean the most fun.
Correct.
And so I was able to, the next morning, go about my business. Everybody kind of left by like 12:30 or 1. I say all this to say, for you young people out there that think your life is over, you know, once you get older and get married and settle down and have kids, no, it's not. You just learn to party better, more efficiently.
Party
you know
how efficiently. To do
that. Have a great time. Start that shit at 8. Everybody's out by 12:30. It was... perfect.
Do everything on the front end so that way it's a lighter lift and more personal time afterwards.
So let me tell you that at 9:15, the party starts at 8, and it was an indoor-outdoor party. It started out in a tent in the backyard. It was going to find its way inside at about 11:30, because I want to be respectful to my neighbors, who, by the way, we went and reached out to all of our neighbors, told us what we were doing. 9:15, party really starting to get there. Everybody's showing up, having a great time. I flew in my DJ Tech. What up? Best DJ in the world. Yeah, flew the DJ in. He's great. He's starting to get going. All of a sudden, I see like lights and stuff. And I was like, what is happening? 12? 9:15, the police are already at my house. There's three of them. And like, I got to be honest. I thought they were in costume. I was like, these are fucking really authentic looking. Then I saw the police car. I was
like, those real guns?
Real cops. But I got to tell you, West Hartford's finest, super freaking cool. I was like, who's calling the cops at 9:15, sir? You know? And they were like, you know, it's a little loud. Maybe turn it down a touch. He's like, but honestly, we're not here to break up your party. You technically have until like 11:15 anyway. Noise ordinance. Do your thing. I was like, listen, dude, we're just trying to have a good time. None of us have our kids. We're trying to cut loose. He was like, I wish I could come to this party. They wanted to stay. All three cops wanted to stay at the party. In fact, they told our guests that were walking up as they were leaving, hell of a party going on over there. Have fun.
Come on.
So that again is the next level of partying when you're a grown up. When you're young and you see those cop lights, you run. Everybody runs. It's a swap meet.
Damn.
Here, I was like, I'm cool. One monkey don't stop, no show. Hater, although I am going to identify who of my neighbors is the biggest hater of all time.
Okay.
But it was great.
So wait, did you find out who the snitch was?
I think I know. After doing just some research in my head, I thought to myself, who's calling the cops at 9:15? And then I remembered someone with kids. If you've got little kids, you don't give a shit. If it's 6:37, you cuss 4th of July parties out. Like, you're angry at anything that might potentially disrupt your child's sleep. And the only people who are going to sleep before 9 o'clock to where you're like angry is people with little children. So I think I've identified the neighbor and I plan on egging his house. I'm just kidding. I didn't say that out loud. I plan on talking with him nicely before next year. And of course, I know you're going to be shocked by this, but two people, we had no lap over. Like, nobody doubled up costumes, which I thought was really, except two people showed up as the same thing. Now, if you're a couple and you're showing up with your significant other right now, who do you think you're showing up as?
Oh, Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift.
There we go. We had two people show up as Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift. And it was really interesting interpretations because one couple was an interracial couple. Travis Kelce was black.
Yep.
And Taylor was a white woman. And the other couple, Travis Kelce, was Hispanic. And the wife was white as well. So we had, you know, the United Nations of Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce interpretations. And it was really great. And then, of course, because we can't escape it, then we saw yesterday dominated again by Taylor Swift talk as she showed up again to the Chiefs to watch her boyfriend, Travis Kelce.
This thing has legs. This thing does not miss leg day. This thing has metal legs. We're going grandma boys reference. This thing is full-blown relationship. They were posting pictures. She kissing him on the cheek and saucing that up on the gram. Do you know how many levels of approval you have to get through to get that thing officially posted at a post party? Like, this is legit, Elle.
The thing that threw me is, apart from even the game and like the shots at the suite, we'll get into the handshake. Bernie Kosar, Browns legend, was also posting pictures with Taylor Swift. Apparently they were at maybe like some pregame party or something before they headed over to Arrowhead. And what are the chances, Gary Streisky, that Taylor Swift had any idea who she was taking pictures with?
Not a shot. One of her people kind of just slid in her ear. Hey, that's Bernie Kosar. Just play it cool.
You even think that? I think someone was probably like, he seems like he's probably important. Why else would be at this party?
That's
like,
true.
Take a picture with him.
Like, whose dad is that? Is that? That's not Travis's dad. No. Whose dad is that?
Is that someone's grandpa? That Harrison, does he own a team?
Harrison Butker's dad?
What is he?
I don't know. I'm trying to think of the white guys on the Chiefs, and that's all I can think of.
It's like when I used to work for the Hawks, and Dominique Wilkins would walk by, and you'd see these 50-year-old dudes like pushing their 9-year-old into a picture with Dominique Wilkins and just being like, shut up and take the goddamn picture.
You know,
like the kids
is?
Looking up like, who is?
You know that is?
You know, and these kids are just like, what? And so then we get to the game.
Yes.
And dominating headlines, at least dominating my group text, was the handshake between Brittany Mahomes and Taylor Swift. They had a couple of choreographed sort of celebration handshakes, if you will. There was lots of celebrating as the Chiefs rolled over the Chargers. And I'm just interested in like what you thought about the sort of, you know, hip check bounce.
This indicates to me that this friendship is way deeper and this relationship and this now, I guess this now clique of people is now way deeper than just Sunday nights, Monday nights in this like 3-hour bubble of football. because that was choreographed. That took practice. That took hanging out and being like, hey, we should have a handshake. Hey, you know what? You're right. Let's practice. Like this has...
You think that took practice?
I see what you're trying to say.
I don't even mean it as a slight. Taylor Swift has to learn choreography for an entire concert.
Exactly.
I'm not sure that doing like high five, low five, hip bounce check is something that you really have to practice. It feels like something maybe they worked on.
I'm not saying Taylor necessarily then maybe had to spend time in the film room, but for Britney to be on the same page that quickly, that took some outside of a camera lens hangouts to really nail down. Like Taylor Swift might buy property. I know she's a Rhode Island resident. She's about to buy property in the Kansas City metro area.
Yeah.
Like that's
Kansas City.
And also
beautiful. Listen, it's the Rhode Island of the Midwest, I hear.
Hey, Rhode Island. You ever been to the Breakers? That place is nice.
Well, yeah, her house is right
that's
there.
That's true.
And everyone just lays on the beach and stares up at her house the whole time. It's actually quite creepy. So let me tell you why I like it, why I thought the handshake happened.
Okay.
And I know you're going to be shocked here as I say it was a stunt. I don't know that it was. I'm saying I think it was intentional. And let me tell you why. I don't blame them at all. Because this whole entire time, all the internet's tried to do is pit those two against each other. Look how devastated Brittany Mahomes is that Taylor Swift has attention. Every screen grab of Brittany Mahomes just, I don't know, looking into like the ether is like, look how pissed she is. And so from the beginning, they tried to pit these two against each other, as people tend to do when it comes to women and claim that they're territorial. And I thought that this was sort of their way of being like, we are friends, shut that down. So for that reason, I'm with it. I think it was cute. I think that the whole thing is a little saccharine sweet for me. But again, like, you know, T-Swift, she's wearing her like friendship bracelet with number 87 on it. It's all just adorable and saccharine-y sweet. I would not expect to see Rihanna doing a handshake celebration with someone, but her totally was with it, right on brand, fine with it.
Not for nothing too, Elle. When she's in the building, Travis Kelce goes off. And I know a couple weeks ago you were like, Travis Kelce, his performance might taper. No. This, when she is in the building, she's like every dude, every amateur hooper, when the girl steps into the gym and all of a sudden you're Allen Iverson and you are the man. And he is that dude when she's in the building.
Yeah. But I do want to note one thing that I knew was coming and we finally saw it rear its ugly head. Oh. And that ugly head I'm talking about that reared itself is Jackson Mahomes.
Damn, that's mean.
So this whole, I'm just saying, the truth is this has been a very avoidable thing for them. You know, on not a serious note, but Jackson Mahomes has been accused of, you know, sexual impropriety and sexual misconduct, and he has largely disappeared.
Yes.
You know, they tried to keep that tight. No more TikTok videos, none of that.
That was a directive straight from Mr. Patrick Mahomes for sure.
Of course that was a directive from Patrick Mahomes, right? Like, dude, you can't, like, he already sort of had not a great image in the public view in terms of why he was there or what he was there for. And then, of course, it soured after that. And so he has really been non-existent, at least his presence lately has been. And then, of course, we do see him this weekend, Taylor Swift in the suite, just behind him in every shot, every adorable handshake and shot of the friendship bracelets, Taylor Swift, pro woman, all that. It's just Jackson Mahomes lurking in the background with all of that complicated mess. I have no idea if Taylor Swift has any idea of all the things that are going on or surrounding him or circling him. I imagine a good publicist told her that. But the Swifties were upset and a lot of people were upset. And I kept thinking, Gary, at some point this was ultimately going to come to a head that in the same way that the guy she was dating before, Travis Kelce, some of the things that he used to say came back and resurfaced and became a thing. And if you were to believe tabloids, caused a rift between them. This was always going to be a thing eventually that she would have to tackle or that she would have to deal with, the association of the Mahomes and the Jackson part of that.
The only thing I could think in my head when I was seeing Jackson Mahomes just kind of lingering over Taylor Swift was, did you have to? Did you have to let him linger? Did you have to? I mean, he was just...
You went cranberries?
Yeah, he was just background fodder. And
can I just say, thank God you went cranberries and not another cringy Swift song. Like, listening to these announcers try to weave in Swift puns has been horrible. Well, so thank you for that cranberries.
Well, here's the thing, Elle. Even if I wanted to try, I couldn't. I know nothing but the mainstream in the Taylor Swift. And my lyric retention on that kind of stuff, non-existent. So you ain't you ain't getting none of that from me.
You guys have bad
blood. Yeah, so I got you. Yeah, I know that one. I know that one.
But it used to be Mad Love. Yeah. I know like five. And I realize that in the time someone will say something when I'm like on SportsCenter, I'll be like, this would actually would be a perfect time for a Taylor Swift pun. But then I only know like five songs.
And then, we're talking, and then it's the Brock Purdy paradigm again. It's like, come on, we've done this. We've went down this road.
Well, you know I'm going to trot out one more for you guys.
Here we go.
In this week's Too Long Didn't Watch. Run the music. Bow, 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 bow. The Eagles stifle the best offense in beating the Dolphins, who again just cannot get that signature win over a top team. They're so back and forth, contender, pretender, they're great, they're okay. Miami's like a light switch. The Dolphins, flipper?
Cardinals kicker Matt Prater was fuming after his holder didn't hold laces out on a field goal attempt. Like, super mad. That holder better Prater God. Matt has forgiveness in his heart. Seahawks 120-10.
Travis Kelce, when Tay is in the building, is so much better. So now defenses are contending with the Chiefs offense and a pop star ringer? What a swift kick to the nuts.
The Bears won their second game of the season thanks to Tyson Bagent, undrafted rookie quarterback out of D2 Shepherd University. 6'3", 215 pounds, birthday June 8th, 2000. I know you're wondering who the hell that is, so that info, I'm sure, is helpful because I had to Google it too.
Detroit gets beat by 32 points to the Ravens, and they only put up a paltry 6 points, so I guess Detroit did play with the heart of a lion. A lion who had just fallen off of a cliff trying to save his cub from an evil uncle that wanted to dethrone him.
The G-Men beat the Commanders 14-7, but Eric Gray muffed his third punt of the season. So all-pro punt returner Gunnar Olszewski is signing with the Giants. It's just great to see good things happen to my fellow Polish brothers. Like Gunner.
You know who is not a hit?
Oh, God.
At least right now in DC, Jonathan Allen. And I do wonder sometimes, like, these teams who are just sort of mired in mediocrity, like, not really good or really bad, right? Like, you get a lot of attention if you're really bad, Broncos, Bears. Mm-hmm. You get a lot of attention if you're really good. If you're like the Commanders, like just one of those teams that like never really does anything but doesn't do anything too bad, right? They never really have a top 10 pick, but they never have, you know, a bottom pick either because they're never all that good. And finally, after I think what the Giants have lost like five of their last six, like finally, someone just said enough. I'm done. Enough of this. They haven't had a winning season since 2016. And Jonathan Allen of the Commanders decided today is the day I'm going to lose my shit. And I'm just wondering how relatable this is. Like, he just, it was the last straw that it's the Giants? Because again, if you're the Commanders, you've been losing a lot. Why was today the last straw? Like, why today of all days did he decide I'm going to read them the riot act?
Caught him right place, right time. This sort of is in line with, as I make a mention to my friend Dan again, and this is not intentional, but I liken it to his theory, which is in any situation, there is an opportunity that exists in the universe. If everything lines up perfectly, time, place, temperature, climate, words, chemistry, that you can land anybody of the opposite sex, if that's what you're into, that you are attracted to at a moment in time in the universe. Like, everything has to line up perfectly. And this is just the flip side of that. Everything was just lined up perfectly. Jonathan Allen was ready to lose his shit. Just lost mediocrity. It's a divisional opponent that he lost to. And my man had enough. We're almost to the halfway point of the season. So like, all hope is gone. You know what I'm saying? This is one of those things. Hey, we're in the film room and we're going to bounce back. No. He's facing the reality. And I think that's what that was.
Have you ever done that? Like, have you ever just, because you're a really nice guy. Everybody knows that. Like, you're the nicest guy. And you probably have to strain your brain to even think of a time that you, like, lost your shit. But have you ever just projected on someone else? Like, it's not just about the Giants. It's, like, just everything compounding and piling up so that you lost it on something seemingly very benign and simple.
You're right. I do have to think about this because I'm pretty like anti-confrontational, but I think I do have a short fuse. So while I think of this, can I just sort of volley this back into your court?
Well done. We have talked about how that is broadcasting 101. Yes. I don't have an answer. So let me pose the same.
Because I think question. I have one brewing in my head, but it's not like that cool of a story.
Yeah. Mine's not really either, but I definitely lost because it takes a lot to push me. I do not yell at people. I don't scream at people. I don't disrespect people that way. We will have a good come to Jesus meeting, but I'm not a yeller. That's just not really my style. But I definitely lost my shit on the phone with an insurance person before. Oh. And it was so bad. It was just, again, I was projecting. There was a lot going on in my life. And this lady didn't have any idea what was coming for her when she told me something could not happen that I wanted to happen. And oh man, it was so bad that even though these are just like national call centers, I efforted for at least like 2 days to try to track down this person. I mean, I'm like calling the hotline like, who was working 2 days ago at 3:36 p.m. Eastern time and potentially took a call just because I felt that bad about sort of exploding on her.
You were going to apologize.
100%. Yeah. Oh. You know, listen, if you're going to do this, you know, you're going to confront people. Like, I imagine if we don't have one already, Jonathan Allen is going to have some sort of like mea culpa. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. He's going to backtrack a little bit. I'm just frustrated. I care. You know, one of those situations. Mm-hmm. But I'm definitely a very non-confrontational person, and I will lose sleep at night if I think even a stranger is mad at me. Like, if I think someone I don't even know, if I cut someone in line accidentally or whatever, I will mill and sit on it forever and it will eat at my brain.
All because you couldn't get a copay covered, huh? Damn, that's crazy. It's $15, Elle. I know you don't carry cash.
And that's why I was so mad. I was like, I paid this. Why would you take me to collections for $12? I mean, I was just...
like, I know I move a lot, but damn, give me some time.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Okay, let's do our story time. We're on our way out of the podcast and from Ojai, California and Gary's living room. He is wearing his Tiesto hat. He was in Formula One. We told you that last week on the show. Yes. He went down to Austin. By the way, totally curbed all of my opportunity to come and have a drink or dinner with me. I texted him multiple times. He ignored the shit out of me and curved me. That's totally fine. You did have work to do. So what happens? Because you're too busy hanging out with Tiesto. So walk me through.
Well, okay. So here's Tiesto, close personal friend now. And turns out his wife is from Colorado. So we had that as like a mutual jumping off point when I met them backstage. Big Broncos fan. And I'm like, oh, you're here on a Sunday, huh? Because the Broncos aren't worth watching. He loved it. They were laughing. So it was me, Tiesto, Tiesto's wife, sister-in-law and father-in-law all back in the trailer before he took the stage at 4:30 at Circuit of the Americas to put a bow on this F1 weekend in Austin. And he was playing on behalf of ESPN. So, of course, the fantastic people in ESPN marketing asked me to introduce him. Like, hey, what's up? I'm Gary Streisky, SportsCenter. Thanks for being out here. Hey, this next guest, blah, blah. It's my honor. It's my privilege. And of course, everybody's familiar with Tiesto's music. He has quite literally been voted many times the greatest DJ of all time.
Yeah, Tiesto's the man.
And this is important. His nickname is the Godfather of EDM. The Godfather of EDM. So I'm hanging out in his trailer backstage and we are just hitting it off to the point he's like, let's do shots. This is 30 minutes. And as you know, Elle, I get the Asian flush, one drink and I'm toast. But these Europeans.
Gary can't drink, you guys. He can't drink, guys. He can't drink.
What I'm going to say, no to Tiesto pouring me shots in 1942. And let me tell you, he's got a heavy hand. He pours a heavy pour. Oh, we went through, and I've never bought it, but he bought, it's a big bottle of 1942. And it was just the five of us. And he was pouring doubles. And we took the first shot and it was great. So smooth. I never had 1942. It was delicious. Would recommend. And he was like, cool, cool, cool. You ready for another one? And I was like, what am I going to say? No to Tiesto? Tiesto's trying to get banged up, you know, in the trailer. So I said, okay, yeah, sure. Let's do another one. But don't be surprised if I get up there and I say, hey, Tiesto's making me take shots here in the back. We're having a great time. And he's like, oh, no, it'll be great. Pours us another one. Thick pours. Two shots, but really, as an accumulation, probably like four actual shots. So it's my time to get out there. 15,000 people are in this amphitheater. And that's not an exaggeration. You can take a look on my Instagram. And they see me coming out with these hats. They know they're about to get freebies. They start going crazy. So I have the mic and I'm drunk off power, but I'm also just actually drunk. And I'm like, Austin, I can't hear you, you know, doing the hype up thing. And they start going crazy. And I'm like, Tiesto had one request. The godfather of EDM had one request. We're in Austin. Put those horns up. They go crazy. Boom. I'm like, this man needs no introduction. He's the greatest DJ of all time. The crowd goes wild. And then, L, I have a brain fart. I completely blank. The 1942 is taking me back to 1942 when I wasn't alive. I'm like,
you forgot his name.
The grandfather of EDM, Tiesto. Oh, no.
Did you say grandfather?
I called him the grandfather instead of the godfather of EDM. Stop it. No, El, you're not helping. El, no. You're not helping. El, you're not helping. You're not helping me.
I'm actually crying and drooling.
You're not helping. I called him the grandfather of EDM. That's not funny. No.
Oh, my God. You called him a grandfather.
Stop it. Stop it. By the way, he's just
Gary, this is so much worse than you ever alluded to.
No,
you
stop.
Went on a stage and called Tiesto the grandfather of EDM.
Stop it. No.
And you're still showing your face today?
No, L. Okay, we can't air this podcast. Don't do it. L. So here's the thing. I didn't realize it at the time. The 1942 was coursing through the veins. And I'm like, Tiesto, they're ready for you. They go crazy again. And here he comes, passing me. And he goes, boom, we knuckle. And then I looked at his wife and his sister-in-law, her sister. And I was like, huh? And they're like, and I was like, no. And then once he started playing, I came to the realization. I think I just called him the grandfather of EDM.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was out of there. Mm-hmm. But he posted me on his Instagram story today. So I think all is forgiven. But Tiesto, if you're listening, if you're watching, dude, I'm so sorry. I'm a massive fan of you, but I'm blaming you because it was the 1942. I know you are the godfather of EDM, but it was Don Julio speaking.
Dude, you literally called Tiesto, who is, how old is Tiesto?
53.
Okay. So old enough to actually be a grandfather, but in an industry where you don't want to lean into your age. Like, I imagine Tiesto does not lean into the fact that he's in his 50s. You want to appear young and youthful.
Yeah.
And in front of everybody, you outed him as a grandpapa, as someone's poppy, as someone's gramps.
Yeah, I think you I did that.
Literally gave him his new title and role. I actually think you're just a forward thinker. You know, you can only be the godfather for so long. We've seen the movies. Those people get killed. But you know who is always protected and always loved? The grandfather.
That's the way to thank you, Elle. You brought this one back because I was about to go just walk into traffic.
You should go do that right now. We'll see you on the podcast next week.
Maybe.